When I walk into a space occupied by other men, I get mixed results. Some of them glance towards me and then look away, seemingly uninterested in my presence. Sometimes, men will quickly change direction so as to move out of my way while I'm walking by. And sometimes, albeit rarely, they will square up towards me as if getting ready for the possibility of a fight or confrontation. Sometimes they will look at me, smile, and nod their head in a polite greeting. Sometimes they will even hop in front of me to hold the door open. "Thank you," I will say, nodding towards them in a friendly gesture of mutual respect. "No problem, sir," they will quickly respond. These types of men are almost always younger than me, I notice. Others meet my gaze for a moment, then avert their eyesight and skulk away, their bodies shrunken down to appear as small and non-threatening as possible. But the question bears asking, why do some men act a certain way around me, and why do others act differently? The answer is both simple and complex at the same time.
Disclaimer: everything that you're about to hear are the thoughts of one guy, Daniel Briggs Adisa, the host of the Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. He is simply just a young man gifted by God with a brain and who likes to think for himself. So what you're about to hear are the opinions of Daniel and sometimes some other people. Sometimes these things are well read, sometimes these things are just pure opinion. Whichever one comes your way, enjoy it. But know that this is not a professional platform. Daniel is not a professional. So take everything he says with a grain of salt, right? And we'll all be fine. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time of the day you're listening to this. And welcome to Volatile Times with Daniel. How are you guys doing? It's been an amazing 2 weeks. You know, I rested for an entire week and then I rested so much that I started becoming stressed from too much rest. Oh God, I'm a mess. But yeah, I am glad to be back in your ears with a new episode. And today we are going to be talking about what something called the socio-sexual hierarchy of men, especially. Because, you know, we're currently on this series of men and sexuality. And last week we talked about basically what the alpha male is, but really didn't delve in too deep, which that episode was supposed to delve into deep, but I realized that episode went on for like an hour and a half, and so I had to cut it. So as a result of cutting that episode, the part where we go in depth into what the alpha male is, different dynamics of the alpha male, the origin of the alpha male ideology, like how it spread out into society, white society, was not part of it. And thank God I did not leave that part in, because after reading further and, you know, watching more videos, reading more articles, doing more research on the topic, I realized I might have been doing a disservice to the concept of the sociosexual hierarchy and the whole alpha male thing in the previous episode, right? Or in the recording, the cutout recording of that episode. So this episode is going to be a much more objective analysis of alpha males and the whole socio-sexual hierarchy thing. And yeah, that's basically in the way of me apologizing for any error I might have done last week, because thank God I didn't add it. But hey, today's going to be a fun time, so let us begin, shall we? Okay, so the previous episode, I spoke about, you know, sexuality in a sense. I spoke about hierarchies mostly throughout the entire episode and how I think hierarchies shouldn't be built on just the basis of pure strength alone, but should be built on the basis of who is best to fill the position of leadership, right? And we'll see that expressed in the whole idea of the socio-sexual hierarchy thing. I also referenced wolves, and I'd like to capitalize on that a bit. I referenced how we commonly associate the idea of alpha male, alpha female to wolf packs, but actually wolf packs do not operate under that ideology. Yes, there is a structure, yes, there is leadership, but it is not the whole alpha male dominates over everybody, you know, that kind of stuff, like how you see chimpanzees or how chimpanzee societies are usually seen. But they operate through a much more familial kind of hierarchy, much more family-based or society-based community, where even if one of them dies, the entire community is kind of emotionally crippled in a sense. Google this, you'll be shocked that wolves are just sweet darlings. Honestly, that's why I love dogs. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, I expressed in the previous episode also that tyranny cannot be maintained. The reason why tyranny cannot be maintained in a sense is because they are gonna come after you. Like, if you show any sense of weakness in a sense, and maybe you got sick, maybe you got wounded in a fight, something kind of like that, maybe you're down in a sense, they will come after your ass, okay? You cannot escape it. Right? So tyranny is not sustainable. So a much better way to observe society and observe differences in strength, aptitude, intelligence, efficiency, all those kind of things, a better way to observe all these things and grade them is not through just pure strength and who is better, but also seeing it in kind of like a symbiotic triangle, in a sense where the top kind of like feeds the remaining, those at the bottom, and you know, those at the bottom also kind of feed into the top, in a sense. So with all of that said, let's now dive in more into the idea of alpha male, shall we? There are two prevalent ideologies of alpha males, in a sense. There is the one that just only acknowledges alpha and beta, and then there is the sociosexual hierarchy, which I will be going much more in depth to in this episode. Honestly, I was very, very critical of the sociosexual hierarchy at the beginning of my research into this topic, and I still am, but not as cynical as I was before, because I think there is some sense to it, but that one for later. Now, what is the number one ideology concerning alpha males? It is what I've expressed before, even recently, and also in the last episode. The idea that there is this one man who is better than every other man, and so every other person should basically serve him simply because of that. He is stronger than everybody, he is sexier than everybody, he fucks better than everybody, and so all women, you know, should have him. And then there's this ideology that he is the number one priority of women, and also his number one priority is to make sure that he gathers all resources to himself and he has access to unlimited pussy as much as he wants. You know, basically that's kind of it. And this ideology has mostly circulated around pickup artistry, the community of pickup artistry. Pickup artistry is basically this, in a sense, I think a good way to define it without sounding derogatory is to say it's this community where men learn how to pick up women using words and wit and all that kind of stuff. It's, most people tell me to be a creepy community, like, you know, most pickup artists have done creepy things. For some things that I've seen, yes, it looks like that, but I do not know much about pickup artistry to make a concisive judgment on that. And if you guys have been listening to my podcast for a while, you've noticed I have usually refrained from speaking about certain people a certain way, or a particular person, like kind of like painting the idea of who a particular person is. The reason why I avoid doing that is because sometimes you don't know so much about a person, and usually I'm not that interested in figures that are not related to my community and my society or my life in general to do so much research on them. So that's why I usually don't pick a person as my topic and then, you know, talk about them. It's usually tougher to do research on people than it is to do on concepts and, you know, just societal topics. So that said, the idea of alpha male that I just expressed is total bullshit crazy. It is insipid at best. Very, very tasteless, to be very honest. One of the reasons why I say it's very, very tasteless is because there can be no other. You are either alpha or you are beta. And when I say beta, there is no gamma, there is no, it's just beta. It's either you are the top guy or you are worthless, right? And I don't think I need to explain much why that ideology seems to be very, very wrong, because naturally it devalues all men, right? And then it gives men this false sense or this false standard that they should really work themselves up to, which is just not tenable in our society. Now, with that said, I would like to go over and start talking about the sociosexual hierarchy, which is the main focus of this episode. Like the cool blue light. Like the cool blue light. Okay, so what is the sociosexual hierarchy? And it's quite special defining this. So I'll be using a particular website, a particular article from a website. The article is called The Sociosexual Hierarchy Explained. It's an article on The Adult Man, and I'll be linking that in the description below for those who want to go and check it out. Anyway, according to this website, the sociosexual hierarchy is a categorization system that separates men into different hierarchical ranks, in quotes, and archetypes, also in quotes. It's used to describe how men interact with one another, how they behave, and what their natural inclinations are likely to be. Now, that is the entire aim of the hierarchy, the sociosexual hierarchy, or the idea of the sociosexual hierarchy. It aims to describe how men interact with one another in society in different contexts, as that matters, in different contexts, how they behave, and what is their natural disposition, basically. Now, for those who do not know what the word archetype means, archetype is a concept that relates to behavior, you know, your psychology, that kind of stuff. So yeah, basically, it's not something we need to bother ourselves with for this episode. So the sociosexual hierarchy is actually created by a guy that's popularly known on the internet as Vox Day, V-O-X Day. Vox Day is actually called, or was named, at first Theodore Robert Bayle. I'm sorry, I'm butchering that. Theodore Robert Bayle, who is an American philosopher, an author, a musician, a Christian, a publisher, and a video game designer. This guy's resume is he's also the best-selling author of The Irrational Atheist and On the Existence of Gods. Now, I have not read both books because I do not think they have anything to do with this ideology. So yeah. Anyway, Vox Day is the originator of what we call the sociosexual hierarchy. I actually watched a video on his YouTube channel titled, which is named Voxiversity, kind of like university, but Voxiversity. And he talked about different rankings and why these rankings exist, that kind of stuff, how it came about stuff, you know, how it basically applies to men. In the beginning, I read a portion of the article, which the article is by a guy named Joshua Sigaforce, where he talks about whenever he goes into a place, you know, there are various mixed results of interactions with various men, right? Although I do not, I won't lie, I'm very skeptical a little bit about how he describes it, because in the first place, I'm like, who goes into a place and then their first, should I say... their first thought is to observe everybody and start grading men and different people. It's like, life is harder than that. Life is too hard for all that bullshit. But anyway, if he says that's his experience, I'm not going to, you know, like, deny the story he's telling, mostly because I don't have any basis to counter it upon. So he talks about, you know, some men would notice him and then just look away because they don't care, which usually does me. He talks about also how some men would, you know, respond in a mutually friendly way, or how some men would be like shrink away, like as if, you know, they are trying to hide themselves or make themselves less noticeable, all of that kind of stuff. Chige. It's all fun stuff. Now, he asks the question that why does this happen, right? Like, he doesn't really understand why, but he sees the sociosexual hierarchy by Vox Day as an attempt to answer that very same question. So now, the whole sociosexual hierarchy thing by Vox Day expands on the ideology of alpha and beta males. Now, he expands on it and creates further rankings. So there isn't just the two, alpha and beta, there are others, which is alpha, sigma, beta, delta, gamma, and omega. Now, the sociosexual hierarchy also kind of strays away a little bit from the original idea of the alpha male. Remember, the original idea of the alpha male is that he is strong, he basically gathers all the pussy in the area to himself, and you know, he decides who has any fun. He is at the top of everybody, he's stronger than everybody, muscle, chisel, chin, everything. Basically, better than everybody. While the sociosexual hierarchy also does kind of promote that ideology that the alpha male is better than everybody, it is not in a tyrannical sense, or at least it's not supposed to be in a tyrannical sense. The alpha male that he kind of proposes is somebody driven not just by strength but also by efficiency in a sense and responsibility. He has principles, he has values, he's basically the father of the community, he takes care of everybody. It's like when you watch all these, you know, tribal movies, and then you see the village chief who is strong, muscled. The village chief is portrayed as being bigger than everybody, you know, it's kind of like that in a sense. So yeah, or maybe you watch movies like Top Gun or The Sopranos or Godfather or somebody like that, somebody who stands at the top of a family, the highest without any high, right? He is the person who everybody adheres to. He is the person who everyone wants to be, but they all listen to him. There is no guidance without his existence. That's basically the concept of the alpha male that is being portrayed here. Now, you can be critical about that, which I advise you to be with everything, honestly. But there is some sense to it. Now, we'll be going into the hierarchy itself, looking at each rank in the hierarchy from alpha to omega, defining each and every one of them according to Fox Day's definition, and seeing their strengths, their key traits, and how they just all round work, so that we better understand exactly what it is we should be imagining in our heads. So let's begin. Okay, so obviously we are going to be starting with the alpha male. Now, I read, the alpha male is the top dog of the sociosexual hierarchy. He is a true leader. Again, see, it's not just about tyranny, it's about leadership in a sense. He's a true leader. He is the charismatic, successful, high status man that women want, and the kind of man that other men want to be like. He exists at the very top of the social dominance hierarchy. He's the king, and the hierarchy beneath him is his domain. Now, what are the key traits? Leadership focused, brave, strong, capable, decisive, responsible. Benefits of being an alpha male will include things like being of high status, having power, high attractiveness, mostly to women. Has his peak of the most attractive women in the hierarchy. Now, things that are seen as drawbacks will be high stress levels. He always needs to be at the top of his game. He has zero opportunity to rest, and the buck always stops with him. In other words, he holds the highest amount of responsibility and most likely ends up doing the most, like carrying most of the weight. Now, after the alpha male, you have the sigma male. The sigma male is kind of different to the hierarchy, being as he dwells outside the hierarchy. The sigma male is termed as the lone wolf. He is sometimes considered to be on par, in other words, equal with the alpha in terms of how attractive he is to women, and he also shares many similarities with the alpha. But here's where the difference comes in. The difference is that the sigma forsakes the structure of the hierarchy altogether. He is basically an outcast. Outcast is not the word. He basically is just I think the term lone wolf describes it best. He just dwells outside of the hierarchy by choice. He wasn't chased out. He forfeits the benefits of the hierarchy in exchange for the freedom that comes with pursuing his own individual destiny. Now, what are the key traits? Lone wolf mentality. He does not conform. He is self-sufficient. He's energized by the solitude he experiences. He has an insatiable longing for adventure, and he has a strong desire to be free and untethered to anybody, no responsibilities whatsoever. And some reading these things, I'm guessing you can maybe imagine one or two people either over the internet or in your life that you think would fit these ranks. You understand? You probably know somebody who is like, yo, I want to have all the money in the world, I want a ball, you understand, I don't want to be married, I don't want to, you know, have children, like maybe tether to somebody that's on a ball, I just want to live my life, not care about anybody. In a sense, that person might be a sigma male according to the rankings on this hierarchy. Now, what are the benefits and drawbacks of being a sigma male? Benefits: freedom, success with women, an efficient lifestyle, I question that, and a life of adventure. Now, a drawback would be a lack of social status and power. Few or no beneficial tribal connections. In other words, he doesn't really have much of a network. Journeying alone can be tumultuous, right? Yeah, I admit. Assimilating back into a tribe later in life can be difficult. There you have it. Now, let's move on to other rankings that dwell inside the structure of the hierarchy itself. So now you have the beta male next. Now, the position of the beta male for me is actually quite... it's interesting, is what I'll put it as. The beta male is the lieutenant of the sociosexual hierarchy. He is second in command to the alpha and acts as his enforcer. He takes command from the alpha and makes sure that those commands are carried out throughout the rest of the hierarchy. They are the alpha's trusted confidants, and they perform an essential role within the hierarchy, and usually they are always seen being close to the alpha male. So if you have an idea of an alpha male in your head, maybe you know somebody that might fit that description, you know, somebody who has so much charisma, seems like it's just pure natural leadership material, that kind of stuff, you probably notice that they also have one other person that is usually always constantly around them. That's somebody who, according to this, will term as the beta male. Now, what are the key traits? The person is loyal to the alpha. They desire acknowledgement from the alpha for their contribution. They are attractive to women. They have strong leadership figures, even though they are not leaders themselves. They lack the hierarchical consciousness of the alpha. In other words, they lack this mentality of, you know, like they have to cater to everybody below them or something like that. And they also like being provided with strong leadership and a vision. So in other words, they might not start a company, they might not start a business, they might not start the movement, but they might be really, really instrumental to its operation and to the progress of the movement, in a sense. Now, benefits will include things like them being successful with women, having power and status almost equal to the alpha, but not like the alphas, which also means they do not share the same stressful responsibilities as the alpha, and they enjoy being around people, and people also enjoy being around them. Although the way this site writes it, it says people enjoy them, which, depending on how you read it, you know what I mean. Okay, now drawbacks will be things like they feel lost if they are not provided with strong leadership. They struggle to find a stable place in the hierarchy if the alpha does not lead them. They like the hierarchical consciousness. I don't see how that's a drawback. Maybe it can be. And they can be problematic or destructive if they are not treated loyally. So in other words, they will be by your side, but the moment you betray them, all hell will break loose.
Pause. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. Feeling thirsty? Go and grab a glass of water. It's fine. You can pause. I'll wait. Done? Okay. Let's continue.
Now let's move over to the Delta male. Now the Delta male is basically what you call your ordinary guy. I'm very sure some of you listen to Kevin Samuels and the rest, and you've probably heard the term high value man, or maybe you're just on Twitter, you probably have met with the term high value man. A Delta male is somebody that would never be called a high value man. Even this site says these are the normal men who wake up, go to work, get things accomplished, and move the entire hierarchy forward. They are considered the most important men in the hierarchy, the worker bees in a sense. They are the men the alphas lead, and without Delta men, no hierarchy can exist and no progress will be made. So anybody that likes a 9-to-5 job is basically a Delta male. Why? Because you like structure. Now, the way this site kind of phrases it, makes it seem like as if, you know, Delta males don't ever want to start a business, they are not innovative, they don't have ambitions. It's like, nope. According to how Fox Day actually explains it, is that they cherish structure, they require structure. So instead of them coming up with structures themselves, they require structure that already has a strong leadership and everything, and they just assimilate themselves into that structure and then, you know, kind of like work in whatever position that structure requires of them. And because they also work efficiently in that kind of environment, they end up moving the hierarchy, the structure, the society forward in a sense. So what are the key traits of being a data male? One, dutiful. They are hardworking, they are very competent, they are proud of the work they do, and they desire respect for their hard work and competence. Now, benefits is they have an uncomplicated life, meaning they don't have to struggle with other hullabaloo of being an alpha or being a delta or even being a sigma. They have the freedom to chase hobbies and happiness. Remember, one drawback of the alpha male is that he always has to be at the top of the game, he always has to be mindful of others in the hierarchy. The delta male doesn't need to do that. The delta male has the ability and the choice and even the luxury to take life easy. Deltas enjoy security and structure within the hierarchy, see? And also, large population numbers give them the power to change their leadership. So it's almost like as if delta males are the reason why democracy exists. Do with that what you will. Now, drawbacks of being delta is that they don't really have incredible success with women, and they don't have any status or power to speak of. In other words, there is nothing really notable about them. That's why they are described as normal men. That term normal being used, I think, sort of in a derogatory sense to kind of like demean men like that. Not necessarily demean them, but paint them as not being important enough. Yeah, I think that's how I'll put it, not being important enough. Now, there are others that dwell below in this hierarchy. And the way they are seen in the hierarchy is, Anyway, before I form your opinions for you, let me just read what is here on this website. Gamma male. The gamma male is the intellectual of the sociosexual hierarchy. Now, that word intellectual is put in quotes. And from what I've seen of Vox Day, he typically dislikes those you would term as intellectuals. Now, I am not so sure why, but according to how it is put here, gamma males being the intellectuals of the sociosexual hierarchy, they tend to be the most troublesome because they tend to think that they are smarter than they actually are. They often see themselves as being more valuable and capable than they truly are. They often lie or exaggerate the truth. They also tend to pedestalize women and struggle greatly with sexual success, despite the fact that they are the romantics of the hierarchy. I think so far, one thing that has been very revealing in understanding the role of the alpha male and who the alpha male is that as you look at all the other hierarchies, most of them have traits the alpha has, but it also at the same time it's almost like as if they are saying the alpha is not this, he is beyond this in a sense. Because look at this, it doesn't state that the alpha is not a smart person, rather it says the alpha is a smart person, but it doesn't call the alpha an intellectual. It says those who are intellectuals exaggerate the truth and often lie. And I'll guess the reason why it says that is because, you know, and it's something I also sometimes have against, you know, intellectual pursuits, is that sometimes we tend to overcomplicate things, you know, like because we're trying to see things from different dynamics and explain things from, you know, different walks of life, we tend to complicate ideas sometimes, and it gets really, really hard to untangle those ideas and make them accessible to the public in a sense. So, and also another thing it terms gammas as is they are the romantics of the hierarchy and they pedestalize women. In other words, they put women on a pedestal. Alpha males do not put women on a pedestal, and you'll be seeing that in the next episode, which will probably be titled The Devolution of the Alpha Male. I don't know, I haven't started recording on that one yet, even the scripting gossip is dead. But anyway, yeah, they are the romantics, you know, they are those who constantly fall in love, they're those who think women are the best gift of God to the entire earth, and you know they should constantly serve those queens. The alpha male is not that. No, the alpha male has a pick of women, any woman he wants. He can have any woman he wants, which in a sense speaks to the devaluation of women a bit. It means, you know, if we, there's this narrative among, you know, male dating coaches and alpha male coaches or something like that, about how, you know, if a woman has a high value man, an alpha male, she will have to end up sharing him with other women. Understand? Like, there is no, in a sense, it's almost like saying for the alpha male, there is no cause for loyalty and commitment, in a sense. I might be reaching, but that's just what I think. Anyway, let's continue down. Key traits of being a gamma male: they are highly intelligent, they are sensitive and introspective. Yes, that's another thing. It frames gamma males and intellectuals as being way too much in their emotions, even though it says they are also smart, right? So in a sense, it looks like a contradiction to me. I do not understand it, in a sense, because also alpha males are kind of tend as these guys who are not moved by their emotions. They don't express emotions. They have strict control over the expression and experiencing of emotions themselves, right? Which gammas do not. Gammas are almost at the bottom of the hierarchy. They are not the least, but they are second to the last, right? They are sensitive. Do you know, the gammas are men who cry when they are watching sad movies. They are men who look in themselves, always constantly think about their actions, what they could do better, being introspective, basically. Now, another contradiction I'll say here is the next key trait of a gamma male: dishonest. Which, I don't know, I mean, sure, yes, anybody can be dishonest, even the alpha male, but then there's this image of the alpha male as being the most honest, the most trustable, the most dependable guy. So the more you go down the hierarchy, the farther away everybody gets from being alpha, in a sense. So the gamma, who is almost at the bottom of the hierarchy, is seen as dishonest, like a very, very dishonest person, as somebody who is smarter than they think they are, who seeks to elevate themselves beyond where they are supposed to be in life. You know, they are unsatisfied with their position. They believe that they should be in charge due to their higher intelligence, which sometimes the smarter person should be in charge, but I digress. Another key trait is that they are socially awkward. Now, this social awkward part makes me think that gamma males are supposed to be nerds. I don't know, I can't help but thinking that this is basically framing gamma males as nerds, and I could go on about that, but I won't, because it would derail the direction of this episode. But yeah, benefits of being a gamma male: higher than average intelligence, they are idealistic, they can learn to be more successful with women. So there's a good thing about them: they can learn to be more successful with women. Now, drawbacks is not very well liked. They are usually dishonest. See, they keep hamping on that dishonest thing. They struggle with women, and they struggle to change their station due to their false illusions of grandeur. Now, if you don't know what an illusion of grandeur is, it's basically when you have a false sense of importance, a false sense of your own standing in life. I remember we had this security guard, we usually call them gate men, at the school that I work, and this guy was sorely incompetent, rude, everything. I could go on and on and on, but it just doesn't matter. Anyway, I remember a time I had an argument with him about him just doing his job. Just watch the gate is all we ask of you. We don't say don't do anything else, but just make sure that you're paying attention to who comes in and who comes out. And then he just started going on and tiring that, do I know who he is? Do I know where what he's supposed to have been in life? That, you know, is he supposed to be working that kind of job? That kind of storms in. This is like maybe a 50-something year old man. And I was like, how does where you are supposed to be in life concern me? How does, am I the one that made the choices for your life that got you here? I mean, I was so bewildered. I was just shell-shocked. I just stood there looking at him like, what the hell are you saying, right? So in a sense, that's kind of like a false illusion of grandeur. Anyway, now let's move on to the very, very last rank in the social sexual hierarchy. Now, this rank is basically what many people will group male feminists under. That was shade, and I will happily stand by my shade. Thank you very much. Now, the last rank is called the Omega Male, and the Omega Male is termed as the loser of the sociosexual hierarchy. This is the guy who never gets invited. He makes people uncomfortable, and they generally wish that he wasn't around. He's not attractive and tends to be a reject in pretty much every way. He is the type of man who is often rejected from the hierarchy against his own wishes. This is the most tragic and difficult of the archetypes. I mean, this sounds like a very, very damning description of whosoever occupies that rank in the hierarchy. I mean, I would not want to be an Omega. God, no. Anyway, what are the key traits of being an Omega? They are unattractive, they are awkward, they are socially weird, they make people uncomfortable, they are tempted to give up on dating / friendship because they usually are not attractive and women don't want them and people don't invite them, that kind of thing. So if you are somebody who has mostly been single their entire life and you have no success in dating whatsoever, you are an Omega. Now, another trait is that they may be black-pilled or resentful of women or other people. Now, that term black-pilled is very, very interesting, and I won't be able to go into it in this episode, but I'll create another episode where I talk about the manosphere and the different pills that men take. I say that in a very, very, in a very, very satiristic way, but yeah. Anyway, let's continue. A benefit of being an Omega is that there is nowhere to go but up. It reminds me of that quote Alfred had in The Dark Knight, where he asked Bruce, "Master Bruce, why do we fall?" And Bruce just looked at him like an idiot, like, because we slipped on the ground and fell. And then he was like, "So that we can get up." And it also makes me remember, you know, that Bible verse that talks about, "If the righteous falls down the 7th time, he shall stand up the 8th time. Hallelujah." Now, what are the drawbacks of being Omega? I don't think I need to reiterate. The drawbacks was, hey, let's go. It says, no success with women. They are lonely. They are depressed. Feelings of self-loathing. They are completely and totally rejected by almost everyone except for other Omegas. In other words, other losers. Losers accept losers. Misery loves company, basically. One thing that I think might not be noticeable throughout the entire reading of the definition and classifications of the ranks in the hierarchy is how everything ultimately is about who gets the most women. It is not about who is more efficient at what they do in life. It's not about who is more innovative. It's not about who progresses the society the best. They do all of that, like, all of that is part of it, but ultimately it's about who is more successful with women. And it keys into the stereotype of men being sexual fiends, like, we only care about sex and all we want is sex, which is not true. You know, I teach a secondary school, I talk to a lot of young boys, and it will shock you that most of these guys don't think about sex a lot as you like to think, especially in our current climate. Most of them are thinking more about money than girls. It doesn't mean that they don't want girls, doesn't mean that they don't have any intentions to have sex in the nearest future, but it's just that for most of them, that is not important. And I would say for many guys, for the large population of men, sex is not as important as it's made to seem in the mainstream media. But do with that what you will, do your own research, do your own reading, do your own thinking. One thing I would like to ask is the sociosexual hierarchy important? In my own opinion, I think it's an interesting hierarchy. I think it's an interesting concept. And I think there are parts to it, especially when you delve further into researching what it is and trying to understand what it is. There are parts of it that do hold true in a sense, because if you go through everything, you most likely know one person, one guy that might fit into one of these archetypes, right? Whether it's an Omega, whether it's a Gamma, whether it's a Delta, whether it's a Sigma, whether it's an Alpha, you probably know somebody who might fit into one of these archetypes, right? Which is where, you know, it was complicated for me, because at the beginning, I was very cynical and I was very insultive and dismissive of the entire idea of the sociosexual hierarchy. But thank God I had time to, you know, calm down and look more into it. And I was like, yeah, it's complicated. It's not it's subjective. Let me put it that way. It's subjective because even when you think about who is an alpha male, how can you be alpha? Are you alpha all the time? It's like it depends on the context of where you are. Sometimes you are alpha in this situation. Sometimes you are not alpha in that situation. Sometimes, you know, maybe in your organization, you are the head of the team. So you are alpha in a sense, but then you also have another head. So to him, you are like maybe like a delta in a sense. So it's subjective in its application itself. Vox Dei does not claim that this is an all-encompassing description of how men interact in society, but it's an explanation in a sense, but not a full one. Okay, so we've looked at the alpha male, the different ideologies, the two major ideologies around the alpha male. One is just the alpha beta dynamic, and one is the sociosexual hierarchy that has the alpha, the sigma, the beta, the delta, the gamma, and then the omega, right? And how all these ranks interact with each other in the hierarchy, how to define them, you know, how to classify people into them, and probably how subjective they are. I would like to end this episode by determining whether I, Daniel Briggs Adisa, I'm an alpha male, or whether I'm an O. Am I a gamma? Oh my God, I hope I'm not a gamma. Anyway, this might elongate the episode a little bit more than it's supposed to be. Thank you so much for listening so far. You can probably end it at this point if you don't want to find out where I rank. But if you want to find out where I rank, join me as I take the test, because there's actually a test on this website to determine what rank in the hierarchy you occupy, and I would love to determine mine. So with that said, let me take this 10 question quiz, shall I? So the first question says, which of the following best describes your career / work life pattern? Number one says, you identify the leaders and team up with them as a support person. Even though you are well liked, you prefer to freelance or do your own thing. That's the second option. Third option, working in social settings has always been tough for you because you find it difficult to connect with people. Fourth option is, leadership isn't for you. You just want to do your work, do a good job, and get paid well. There are a lot of options. There are like, what, 10 options per question? Should I read everything? Let me just continue. Another option is, you're a leader who leads by example and puts his team first. Another option is, your favorite places to be is the in-person right beside the top dog, basically a beta man. When you start a job, you quickly rise through the ranks and reach the top of the pyramid. You start your own business and create dynamic teams to work beneath you. To choose one, I would say leadership isn't for me. I mean, I've been thrust into leadership positions well before without my permission sometimes, honestly. But I don't think I am naturally propensed towards leading people in a sense. I mean, if you go to the school I work, some people will disagree with that, but I just don't think I'm leadership material in a sense. At least not in that alpha male type sense. Okay, second question. Which of the following best describes your dating / sex life and relationship with women in general? Men, I've been single for most of my life because I haven't desired a relationship, so I don't think anyone here would classify me well. One option says, you are a classic one-woman type of man. I think I am. Or I like to think I am, but I think I have Ashawo vibes. Introvert Ashawo vibes. Okay, women often naturally desire you and dating is effortless. I would not say that at the same time. I honestly would not say that. How should I put it? You are a drifter who doesn't settle down, but women seem to like that. I'll pick you're a classic one woman at a time type of guy, because honestly, I think that's what I am. So the third question says, which of the following best describes how you feel in the vast majority of social settings? I don't do social settings. Thank you very much. Oh my God, I am a gamma. Ha, Jesus. One option says, you are a simple, generally well-liked person who is interested in being on any kind of power trip. Yes, that is me. That is me. Honestly, that is so me. That's why I didn't choose the whole I'm a leadership thing with the first question. That is so me. People like me. I've realized people like me. People like to hear what I have to say. People like to hang around me. I also like to hang around people from time to time. But I do not try to claim seniority in most of my gatherings. I do not try to claim wise guy. I didn't even try to stand out most of the time. You know, so yeah. Question 4. Which of the following best describes your close friendship relationships? You enjoy several good friendships with other men with whom you share common hobbies and interests. You don't get to be choosy about your friends because most people don't want to be around you. Friendships are a challenge because most men don't understand what it's like to be a high performer. I'm not a high performer. You may have one or two close friends, but you aren't really a social person. You enjoy comfortable social friendships with people who are similar to you in terms of life success and shared values. Yes, that is me. Okay, the fifth question says you are starting a new job. What's your plan as you walk into the building for the first time? Honestly, I advise you guys to take this test. Like, it's fun. I mean, you might not really believe in the whole hierarchy thing. You might not really subscribe to it. And who knows, it might be your religion. But anyway, fifth question. You start a new job. What's your plan as you walk into the building? You take pride in your work, you do your part, get paid, and go home when your shift is over. You figure out who's in charge and begin planning how you're going to sub him or her as the leader. You show off your leadership skills and hope to get recognized and promoted, beta male. You try to avoid socializing and work by yourself as much as possible. The job isn't important because you're already growing your own business on the side. That's just irresponsible. You try to make yourself appear as small and least noticeable as possible. Nah, I don't do that. You befriend the top dogs. You keep your head down. How should I put it? Yeah, I take pride in my work. I do my part. I get paid and I go home most of the time. Which of the following describes your ideal life? You travel the world as a lone wolf. Nope. You're a brilliant success who is often praised for his accomplishment and well-loved by everyone. You finally achieved revenge against... Sorry, I wasn't bullied in school. I might have done some bullying myself. Oh, God. You are living the dream, helping powerful men to reach their goals and reaping rewards for your loyalty. In a sense, I think I'm like that. I think I'm like that, in a sense. Which of the following words best describes you? Intelligent, normal, solitary, empathetic, unattractive, leader, lonely, romantic, respectable. I think intelligent will do. The eighth question, which of the following types of interactions is most likely to frustrate or anger you? You try to help someone in leadership, but they don't appreciate or make full use of your help. Your intelligence isn't appreciated by peers or leaders, and you are not praised for your lofty ideas. A subordinate challenges your authority. A leader implies that your contribution didn't matter. A woman is nice to you only to friendzone you when you ask her out. Someone in leadership fails to acknowledge or respect your hard work. A woman ignores you but then dates a child. A leader to whom you've been loyal throws you under the bus. You just want to put your head down. You just want to get your work done. I think what would best describe me, or what infuriates me usually and even currently infuriates me with my job right now, is I try to help someone in leadership but they don't appreciate or make full use of my help. Now, the ninth question. We are almost there, guys. When you wake up to begin your day, which frame of mind are you most likely to embody? I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to work. That is the mind frame. But anyway, let's see the options here, shall we? I want to find inner peace on my own. I don't need other humans to enjoy my day to the fullest. Actually, I feel like going for that one straight, honestly. I want to go to work, do my work, and then go home to enjoy my hobbies and interests. I want to conquer my day. Nope, I never think like that. Trying to succeed feels like a trap. I usually get let down because it doesn't work out. My work isn't the focus of my life. I do it to pay my bills so that I can live the life I want outside of it. In a sense, yeah. Maybe today people will appreciate me for my intelligence. Nope. People already do. It's time to work harder than everyone else. No, I don't come life, come die. I look forward to every day because I don't have the responsibilities of the guy in charge, but I do get to reap massive benefits. I am going to continue to pursue my lofty ideas even though most people aren't smart enough to understand. No, people are usually smart enough to understand my ideas. I'm not that intelligent. My life is awesome and I'm extremely grateful that I'm in with powerful people and make it possible. I think I look forward to every day because I don't have the responsibilities of the guy in charge. Either that or I want to find inner peace, because usually I do have both mindsets. You know, I think I'll go for I want to find inner peace on my own. Now, the last question. We are there, guys. We are there. You walk into a room full of people you don't know. What's the first thought to cross your mind? Why am I in a room full of people I don't know? That's the first thought that crossed my mind. Okay, options. I would love to be liked by these people, but it never happens. Spot the people in the room who seem to be the most powerful and introduce yourself to them. I'm not really much for rooms full of people, so I'll do what I need to do, then leave. Assess the hierarchy of the room and figure out who is who in terms of their social rank. I want people to like and respect me, so I'm going to act confident and strive to put my best foot forward. Most of these people don't understand how difficult it is to not be likable or attractive. Locate the alphas. Okay. People like me, but being in the room like this is exhausting and feels like a waste of time. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. According to this, what is my rank? Oh, it needs me to enter my email. Why? You can just tell me what my rank is. Finish. Ugh, God. Oh, I'm a Delta male. Bipe Motimo. I'm a Delta male. It says you are a Delta male, you are the worker of the social sexual hierarchy. You are a normal man who wakes up, goes to work, gets things accomplished, and moves the entire hierarchy forward. In fact, you are the most important man in the hierarchy. You are the man the alphas lead. Without Delta men, no hierarchy can exist and no progress will be made. Okay, so that's basically me, guys. So if you see me and you're an alpha, just let me know you're an alpha so that I can prostrate in front of you and be like, my alpha. My dear Alpha, why? Because you are much more important than I am. Okay. To be more honest, you know, sometimes this is basically last statement things, guys. And also, thank you so very much for sticking so far. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. You know, it's been lovely going through this, and I can't wait for the next episode. But as a finishing statement, I'll say this. I kind of dare say sometimes when people come and go, you are the most important person here. Don't you know that? Without you, we can't have been doing anything. And yet, I do not really have any power to speak of. I do not really have any authority to speak of. How am I the most important? So you want me to believe I'm the most important? Why you keep me in a worker position and use the hell out of me? Isn't that what most employers do to us? They tell you are the most important thing. You know, without you, we can't function, which is true. Without me, you can't function, but doesn't make me the most important part. Because if the leader dies and no other leader comes up, I lose my job. And that's it, folks. Thank you so very much for listening to The Volatile Times with Daniel. And do not forget to, you know, just look further into things. Do not forget to allow your mind open and expand and see the world in different ways. Do not forget to pray. Do not forget to love people around you. And do not forget to follow us on social media. It's our Volatile with Daniel on Instagram. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.